2 Chronicles chapter 16. This is the third part of the message that we've been preaching all day long about King Asa. And this morning we learned that God is able. God is able to help you. God is willing to help you. And this morning we learned in our morning service about who God is willing to help and those that God is not willing to help. And we talked about those that God is willing to help are those that receive the word of God and those that repent when they need to repent and those that react. We also looked at those that God will not help as those who do not rely on him, those that do not ask for help, and those who misuse the resources God gives them. And tonight we're going to look at the reaction that Asa has. Earlier, Asa was followed in chapter 15, a seer or a prophet led by the Lord came to Asa and says, hey, look, if you live for God, God's going to help you. And Asa listened to that, and Asa started a reformation. Asa started a revival in the nation of Israel, and he had rest for about 25 years. And he came up against a great army, a great northern kingdom, and saw what Baasha was doing. And Baasha turned around and caused him to become nervous and scared. And instead of relying on God as he had done in chapter 14, he goes and relies on the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. And the Lord had to correct him. The Lord had to punish him. And tonight, the title of the message is A Heart for Correction. A Heart for Correction. And when we had this message, I bet you some were thinking, okay, Pastor, I know what you're going to talk about. I know where you're going with this. You're talking about that the responsibility, the importance of the leaders and the authorities correcting those, and even good Christian friends correcting one another and things like that. And that is a good message and a good sermon, but that's not tonight's message. Tonight's message is having a heart, being the one that's corrected. How to respond when you're the one that's being corrected. And I know that most of us do not like to be corrected. Most of us do not like to show when we've been wrong or doing something that's wrong. But you know what? The Bible speaks much about a wise man being willing to listen to correction, being able to look and examine in his life and seeing what the proper reaction to correction is. And that's not a message you hear very often, but I think in the story of Asa here, he was a man that lived for God for many years. The Lord blessed him. The Lord helped him. We learned all about that this morning in Sunday school and Sunday morning. And we saw how God was able to use him. And he messes up. He slips up. And let's see how Asa responds to the correction that God gives him through the seer or the prophet. Let's start here in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 16. Let's start in verse number 7. The Bible says, and at that time, Hananiah, the seer, which is another word for prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. There's something here and interesting we didn't mention this morning, but I was going to bring to light was, you know what? God had a great plan for Asa. If Asa was going to listen to God and Asa was going to rely on God, God was going to give Asa something great. He was going to actually allow them to conquer Syria. You know, at that moment in time, Syria was in Asa's hand, but because he relied on Syria, he relied on Ben-Hadad, God wasn't able to give and help him as much as he wanted to. And here in verse number 8, we see that the correction continues. The seer, the prophet, from the word of God is correcting Asa. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, which very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. He's reminding them. He is showing Asa where he did wrong. He did not rely on God as he had done before. He is correcting him. In verse number 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself and to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He's showing him where he messed up, giving correction. He's rebuking him here. And now he pronounces the judgment. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. So the seer, the prophet's rebuking Asa. He's saying he's correcting him. He's showing him what he's done wrong. And so here's the choice that Asa has. He can hear and receive as he did before, and he can repent and be used by God for the future, or he can rebel. And we see how he takes and responds to the correction. Let's look here in verse number 10. It says, then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, though they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared. Now, he's doing a big to-do here about his death here. And then you see here that in this story, what I want you to take a look at is Asa's response. He was corrected. You know what? Correction is not a bad thing. Correction is something that God can use to help get us where we need to be. It's how we respond to that correction. We might be good at giving out correction or looking what other people are doing and be able to fix everybody else's problem. But when someone corrects us, how do you respond to that? And that's what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord to help us tonight in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, speak to people's hearts. This is a subject that may be a little tough for some of us to swallow, or it steps on our pride a little bit. Lord, by help us to open up our hearts. Lord, help us to have a heart for correction. Seeing, Lord, that correction can help us draw closer to you and learn more about how we can serve you better. Lord, I do ask that you speak to people's hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to do a little differently. Instead of having like three main points tonight, we're going to just talk about the story for a few minutes, and then we're going to go over to the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, we see many types of ways that people respond to correction and instruction. But I want you to see how Asa responds. He has a chance here. The God who has helped him for the last 35 years. I mean, God has delivered him. God has done great things for him. And Asa has lived for God. Asa has been a person, an individual that God could bless and that God could use. But for 35 years, Asa has been used and blessed by God. He came up against a new challenge. Don't know why he refused. We don't know. I mean, maybe it was because it was brother and country. Maybe because he had been living at peace and living in under God's blessing for so long, he didn't feel like he needed God's help. But he, instead of relying on God, he makes a mistake. And when he makes a mistake, God corrects him. Thankful for that. When we do something wrong, we're thankful that we know that God will correct us, that God will send his Holy Spirit of God to convict us. If he wasn't going to correct us, we wouldn't know what we've done wrong. I think that's part of what Asa's problem here is. Asa doesn't want to believe he did anything wrong. Asa's, it worked. The king of Israel left, and he was evil even to spoil the different products that the king of Israel was using. And here, Asa does not want to believe that he had did anything wrong, so instead of repenting, he rebels. He knows what he should do, and he rebels against it. And this is where correction comes. You have a choice. That when someone corrects you, you have a choice between receiving the word or rebelling. Here in verse number 10, let's see what he does. He rebels. Then Asa was wroth. Instead of listening to what the seer had said, instead of giving credence to what the seer had said, instead of praying over it and seeking God and saying, is there any truth to these corrections? What does he do? He gets mad. And that's the choice you have. When a correction comes across your path, you can pray and seek if there's any validity to it, or you can get upset and you can get mad that someone would dare correct you. And that's what happens with King Asa. He says, how dare someone? How dare someone question me? And they continue on as you look here, and he says, it was wroth. And who was he wroth with? He says, with the seer. Now, you know, the seer is just doing what God told him to do. The seer had just sending the message that God had given him, the message that Asa needed to hear. Asa didn't mess up. Asa needed to be corrected. Asa needed to have someone come alongside and say, hey, look, you've done something wrong here. God is unhappy. And because God is unhappy, he can't bless you anymore. He can't use you with this type of mindset. From here on out, you're going to have wars. All those years, you didn't have wars. But from here on out, you're going to have wars because you did foolishly. And he becomes angry and upset with who? The messenger. Now, when someone's giving you the word of God, you can get mad and upset with the messenger, but they're not the one that's giving you the message. Many times it's God. And later on, we're going to talk about people who correct that isn't under God's inspiration. They just feel good about correcting people or criticizing. We're going to look at that in a little bit later on. But we're talking about people who are using correction according to God's word to try to help us. And that's what this seer is doing. He is correcting. So he gets angry. He gets mad at the person that's there. And you see that he punishes him and puts him in a prison house. And these next phrase, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. You know, when I was reading through this and I was thinking about this and meditating on it, you know, when a person rebels and becomes angry, you know what later comes? Comes bitterness. And you know what comes with bitterness? Is oppression to other people. What does the Bible say in Hebrews 12:15? Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. And you see, this is what happens. King Asa now turns and he oppresses some of the people. And where did it begin? It began over here that the seer came and said, hey, Asa, God's unpleased with you. God's unhappy with you. You need to correct something. You need to get this right. And instead of Asa repenting, instead of Asa reacting to the received word of God, he rebels. And when he rebels, what happens? He becomes bitter. He punishes the person who was delivering the message. But not only then, he lets his heart be filled with bitterness. And when the bitterness comes across, you know what happens? He begins oppressing the people. You know, this is a scary thing. When you don't respond to correction the right way, you know what happens? You begin to punish those that are trying to help you. And then you become so bitter and become so angry that you begin oppressing the people around you. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, and thereby many be defiled. And this is important that parents, when God's speaking to your heart, and husbands and wives, and God is trying to correct you, and God is trying to use his word to be able to do a work in your heart, and you rebel against it, what happens is you become angry. You begin to punish or lash out to those that are just trying to help you. And then you become so bitter at the correction of the word of God, you begin to defy or you begin to allow this to affect many other around you. Now, this is important. Young people, you know how you're supposed to respond when you're corrected. You're supposed to say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, and have the right type attitude. And that's what we expect when we're talking to a young person. But isn't that the same thing that we should do when we have God speaking to us? Yes. And that we act the way that we want our child to react to us, or a young person to react to us, we expect obedience and right that second, or they're going to be punished. You know what? We need to learn that when correction comes our way, to respond in the same way. Because if not, we see what happens. Asa becomes bitter. He starts oppressing those who are around him. But something else happens. You drop down a couple verses, and we see this godly man that sought after God for so many years had become so bitter, he grows sick. It says in Asa, in verse number 12, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet. Now, 35 years, things were going good. 35 years he was serving God, but he became angry and bitter because he did not want to receive the correction of God. And when that happens, this disease happens, and you see his heart has already now become hardened. It's become hardened to the correction of God, and to the point that he is not willing to even ask God for help with his disease. Let's see what it says here. And he says, and the rain was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with going to the doctors. I think if you got a disease, that you should go to the doctors, but the first person you should go to is the great physician. You should go seek God's help. It shouldn't just be putting our trust in doctors. We should seek God and seek God's help, and we look for God's glory in our sicknesses and see where God can get glory out of it. But I think the Lord has given us doctors and physicians to help us along the way. We go to them. We don't put our faith and trust in them. We put our faith and trust in God, but we use our common sense to go to the doctor when we're sick. And that Asa, he's not wrong because he went to the doctors. He's wrong because he wouldn't go to God. How could that happen? 35 years, this man had peace, God blessed, because he sought God. And then correction comes. He refuses that correction. His heart becomes angry, which turns into bitterness, which turns into the point where he oppresses others. And now he's not even willing to go to God for the disease he has. See what happens when you take correction wrong? See what happens when God's word is given to you in a way that is convicting and correcting? And what happens when you say, that's not me. That has nothing to do with me. I do not want to respond to that correction. You become angry. You get upset. Have you ever tried to help someone and they become angry at you because you're just trying to present them the word of God? There are people that don't want to hear the word of God. There are people that don't want to hear the truth. And we're going to look at some of those in just a few minutes. But I want you to help understand this, that receiving correction is important. Knowing how to receive correction is important. And here in the story of Asa, as he had correction given to him. And he said, nope, that's not me. He didn't believe it. And that goes back to all about where revival begins that we learned this morning, is receiving God's word. Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and let's look a little bit about what God's word says receiving correction. Proverbs chapter number 9. There's a lot of passages of scriptures. We're not going to have you turn to all of them, but there's a few verses here in Proverbs chapter 9 I want you to look at. And I want you to look at two different groups of people here in Proverbs chapter number 9. Those that receive instruction, those that receive correction, and those who despise it. Because that's what Asa did. He despised the correction that was given to him from God. And this is what we have to learn to receive the correction that God gives us. Have a heart for correction, because if we see who we are and who God is, we will want to be corrected because we know we need the help from God. Here in Proverbs chapter number 9, let's start in verse number 7. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In this passage of scripture, there are two different groups of people. I like to look at these people as the unteachable and the teachable. The unteachable are those who think they know what is best for their lives, and you cannot tell them anything different. They are stuck. They are stubborn. No matter what you say, even if you show it from the Word of God, even if you show them history, no matter what it is, they're not going to let you change their mind. Now, that's what this person, when it's referring to a person who is a scorner, they would scorn at the idea of change. They would scorn at the idea of correction. Verse number 7 talks about a wicked man. And here in verse number 8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So it's referring to a group, the foolish man, the unteachable. He will not listen to reason. He will not listen to the Lord. Trying to show him his waywardness only creates an enemy. One person said, wise men change their minds, fools never. A wise man thinks all he says, a fool says all he thinks. Also, another man said, too often we change jobs, friends, and spouses instead of changing ourselves. The person who chooses human foolishness over divine truth is a person who's determined to live his life on his own terms and his own ways. Is when correction comes, we just dismiss it. Now, that's not what the Bible says as a wise person. That is the way the Bible characterizes a foolish person. Asa was foolish. He was determined not to believe what he did was wrong. He refused to accept that. He punished the seer. He punished those that are around him. And his heart became so hard that nothing that anyone said would ever correct it. Now here, how do you receive correction? Is there something in your heart that no matter if anyone said, if they showed it to you in the Bible, if God himself came and spoke to your heart through an individual or through the Holy Spirit of God and says, I want you to change this, how do you respond to that correction? The Bible refers to that person as a scorner, a wicked person, a foolish person in other passages of Scripture. But we see there's a second person. We see a person who receives instruction and correction. We call that the wise man. Look what it says in verse number 9. It says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Look what it says at the end of verse number 8. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Now, this is amazing that the wise man is one who is interested in correction. He is one who is seeking how to better themselves. And you see what it says in verse number 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So where does he become a wise man? It begins with the fear of the Lord. While the fool persists in his foolishness, the wise man will listen when he is confronted with the truth, and he will adjust his life accordingly. He realizes his own limitations and shortcomings and grasps every opportunity to develop his life into one that is more pleasing to the Lord. One man said, a wise man will learn more from fools than fools will learn from a wise man. Isn't that amazing? You got, the Bible calls one person a wise man and one person a fool. The wise man can learn more from the fool because he will listen more than a fool will ever learn from the wise man. And here, what is we characterizing the difference between the wise and the fool? The wise man will receive the correction and instruction. The fool despises it. How do you receive correction? When someone comes with the Word of God and shows you the truth that's found in the Word of God, do you receive it? Do you take it? Do you listen to it, or do you despise it? And this is not easy. I don't like being corrected. You can ask my wife. When she corrects me, I had to fight off my flesh because I don't like being corrected, especially from women. I mean, I guess, let's be honest, I just don't like to be corrected by women. So, come on, men, you know that's true, right? Or even by children, you know? No. Now, there's, you know, If an older gentleman comes to me and corrects me and listens to me, I mean, yeah, I can take that pretty well. But you know what? God can use children and ladies, and God can use all types of situations to bring instruction into our hearts and lives. Now, I want you to take, we're going to go on a little journey here through the Bible and going to look at some of these different things when the Bible talks about responding to correction. Go ahead and take your Bibles and look in Proverbs chapter number 6. We're going to stay in Proverbs a little bit. I'm going to start off with this one in Ecclesiastes, but we're going to go through Proverbs a little bit and just look at the different ways of responding to correction. Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of a fool." Correction is good. Correction is good because we need it. Now, we learned just a second ago, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, here's the point. This is, we passed that verse of, and we shouldn't have, in verse number 10. Here's where we find the most important passages of Scripture, not the comparison to the two, but what makes a man wise. It's his perspective of God. Now, when the fear of the Lord is, a person sees himself and sees who God is and realizes he needs correction. He realizes he needs God help. Now, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, let's look at it from this viewpoint. When you were saved, where did you come? You came to a realization of a humbling yourself and saying, I see myself, I am a sinner. I see God, he is my way of salvation. I humble myself on my knees before God and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I'm wicked. I know I can't get to heaven myself. I know that inside me there is nothing that is good, and I am repenting of my sins. I am crying out to God. I am asking God to save me, and I know I need God to save me. Now, in that humbled position, on our knees before God, we realize something. We realize we need God. We see ourselves as sinners. We see God for who he is, and we ask him to save us. This is what makes a wise man wise. It's the fear of the Lord. When we are humbly bowed before God, when someone comes along our side and says, let me show you something from the Word of God that can help you in your walk. If you have that attitude, you'll be like, okay, what is it that I need to learn? I know who I am. I know who he is. And I know that I need God's correction. I know that I can't live this life on my own. I know that in myself, I see myself as a sinner. I know my heart. I know my flesh. I know how much wickedness is in me. And if there is something that I need and that God can use to correct me, to help me become a greater vessel and a greater use to him and become more useful for his work and more useful for his service, remember, the wise man will listen when being corrected. The wise man will listen to the rebuke. The wise man will love thee for helping him in his walk. Why is that? Because the wise man gets his wisdom from where? Because he fears God. because he sees who God is. He sees himself. And if we're honest with ourselves and we know our own flesh, we know our own selves, we see how much we had to fight against the wickedness and fight against our foolish heart and fight against our selfish side, and then we turn around and say, oh, I don't need anyone's correction. We need God's help. We can't do it on our own. We need God to correct us and use his word in the correction. And when we see ourselves humbly bowing before God and see ourselves who we are and who he is, we realize we have so much more to learn. You know, it is amazing when someone comes up to me and says, hey, I know all about the Bible. I don't need to come to church. I remember there was a young man I was trying to get to come to church, and he was in eighth grade. You know, eighth graders, they think they know everything, right? At 12, 13 years old, they're smarter than a whip. This kid didn't go to church very often, but he came on a Wednesday night to our church class. And I knew him a little bit, saw him every once in a while. I kept on trying to get him to come to church. And you know what? He says, Pastor, I heard what you preach. And we talked about that night, was somewhere around Thanksgiving. He says, I heard that story lots of times about the nine who did not come back, and did God help them, not help them? He says, I know all about the Bible. And he says, I know that. He says, I know this and I know that. And I began thinking, and I says, man, you're a lot smarter than I am. He looked at me and he says, what do you mean? I says, every time I read the Bible, you know what it shows me? I got so much more to learn. But you know what the foolish man says? I already know it all. You don't need to show me anything. You don't need to correct me. You don't need to say, hey, you could help, use some help here. I got it all figured out. That's what the foolish man says. You know what the wise man says? The one that is maybe probably knows more than the Bible, more about the Bible than we could probably ever hope to know. I'm only beginning to scratch the surface. God has so much he wants to show me in his word. And as I dig deeper and deeper and deeper, I learn so much more. That's what a wise man will do. And when someone tries to correct a wise man, they will compare it to the word of God. Like we learned about last week. What did we learn last Sunday night? Using the word of God, examining a heart according to the word of God, allowing God to do a clean, thorough work in our hearts. It's not based off what we think. It's not based off of what we've been taught. It's not based off of how we feel. It's based off what the word of God says. And that's what I'm looking to say. Last week, maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe this morning, God been pricking at your heart about something. How do you respond to the correction? The fool despises it, scorns at it, hates you for saying it, throws you in the prison house, oppresses everyone around you that feels and thinks that way. But the wise man, he loves you. The wise person loves you when you rebuke and correct them. Let's see what else the Bible says. As I mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of the fools. You're going to find somebody who agrees with you. You're going to find, if you're being foolish, you're going to have a whole company of people saying, hey, you're right, go ahead. They're going to be cheering you on. But when you get a wise person that comes along with the word of God and tries to help you, that's so much better than listening to a bunch of people praise you when they are being foolish themselves. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 6:23. The word of God says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Being reproved means being rebuked, means instruction and correction. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. And you see this term again, way of life. Proverbs 10:17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, and he that refuses reproof erreth. So the Bible is saying here, you're in the way of life, you're living the way that God wants you to when you keep instruction. But when you refuse correction, when you refuse reproof, what do? You err. Keep on going to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now, you got to hear again, you know, when you receive instruction, when you receive correction, the person who receives that loves knowledge, but the person that hateth even the idea of someone correcting him, who stands up and says, I don't need to hear that, that person is brutish. Let's keep on going. It says in chapter 13, verse number 1, chapter 13, verse number 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. say, Pastor, I don't like to be corrected. You know what? The Bible says the person that does not like to be corrected here in this way with the Word of God is a scorner. And they just don't have any room for growth. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Let's look in verse 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Wow. What it's saying there is those that are faithful and will help you and try to correct you, those are good things. But when an enemy or someone who is foolish, deceitful, when they clamor and they praise you and they flatter you, they're deceitful. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Let's look here in Proverbs chapter number 19. Proverbs 19, go back a few pages. Verse 25. Proverbs 19:25 says, smite a scorner, and a simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. How do you receive correction? It's saying reprove someone here that has understanding. And he that understandeth will have knowledge. Think about that. How do you respond to correction? The Bible is saying here that we need correction. If we understand who God is and we understand who we are, we'll know that we are weak and we are nothing, and we need everything we can from the Word of God to grow and to learn to become better. But how many of us really enjoy correction? The psalmist put it this way: let the righteous smite me, it shall be kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. He's saying, let someone reprove me. If they are righteous, let them reprove me. It's not going to kill me. It's going to help me. In 2 Timothy 4:2, the preacher is encouraged and exhorted, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Word of God is supposed to correct us when we preach. You hear the preaching. When you have godly friends that are concerned and pray for you, and the Holy Spirit of God moves upon them to try to help you with something, listen to the correction. See what God is maybe trying to say to you. Now, here's where the problem comes, and this is the third thing. Is not only is it, you know, there's two different types of people, those that are teachable and unteachable. Not only is correction good for us when we understand who we are and what God is, but here's the thing. Why correction is tough to take sometimes. Why correction is tough to take. Let's just be honest. Correction is hard to take sometimes. And we'll just use that example between your husband and wives, because husbands and wives should be able to encourage one another. But the truth is, the person correcting you, they're human. They're imperfect. You ever had your wife come to you and say, honey, I appreciate all the things you do, but there is this one thing I wish you could help me with. And what's your response? Your response should be, thank you for bringing this to my attention. I will consider and pray about it, and I will try to do better as the Lord leads. That's not our response normally. Our response is, thank you, honey. Now let me tell you about the 10 things I want to see you change. That's what our response is. The problem is that we receive correction from imperfect people. And we want to dismiss it. Yeah, that's what's wrong with me, but this is what's wrong with you. And we're not doing it in a kind, loving way, trying to help one another. We're trying to, instead of listening to the correction that's been given to us, we're trying to dismiss it and reject it. And we need to learn that sometimes even imperfect people God can use to bring correction in our life. Now, we are all imperfect. Now, if you wait for the perfect person to come and help teach you, you're just going to be foolish for the rest of your life, because that perfect person is not going to come. But God can use individuals and people, preachers that are not perfect. You know, when I'm preaching the Word of God and God's power and God's way, even if I'm not perfect, and even if you see things in my life that maybe could change and need to be worked on, it's the word of God's power that you need to listen to. You need God's word to change your heart. And you're never going to find a perfect preacher. But you are going to find a perfect word of God. And you need to let this change you. And when someone preaches or corrects you with the word of God, how are you going to respond? That Hananiah guy that reproved and rebuked Asa, he was human. He wasn't perfect. And Asa refused to listen. And it is hard to listen to someone who has had their past problems. It is easy when your wife or your child or someone comes up or someone you know and tries to help you and says, "Oh, I know you. Remember 20 years ago you did this and you think you have a right to say something to me?" That's not the wise man that the Bible is talking about, is it? That loves the person that's rebuking him. That's not a person who's taking correction the right way. That's the scorner. That's the person that's foolish. Also the person that's wicked. We got to learn to take correction and instruction the right way. Another thing that makes it hard is maybe not all the details are correct. Now, not everybody is going to know every little detail in your life. You know, but sometimes the Lord can help somebody to help you say something and help to know what's going on in your life a little bit. And the Lord sends somebody just to say, "Hey, I'm praying for you," or "Can I help you with this?" or the word of God. Not everybody knows all the details. Sometimes we dismiss it because they get something little wrong. For instance, you know, last Monday you blew up and you yelled at me, you did this and that, and you're just like, "It wasn't Monday, it was Tuesday." And you just dismiss it all the way together because of the fact that they got one little detail off. Who forgets the fact, you forget the fact that it's because of the fact that did something horrible, you did something wicked, but just because they missed the wrong time or they missed the wrong little detail, you feel like, "Hey, I don't need to listen to any of this anyway." And it is tough to listen to correction. The devil will give you every reason not to listen to correction because he doesn't want to see you become a greater use to God. Now, here's a couple things a couple practical things, I think, when it comes to in construction and instruction and correction. First thing is there any truth to the correction? Or is there truth in this correction from which I can learn? If someone corrects you or criticizes you, you know what? I heard one preacher say, criticism is like, what you should do with criticism is treat it like you treat a piece of bubble gum. Chew on it for a little while and spit it out. And what do you mean? It means if someone has tried to correct you, or, and I'm saying criticizing, meaning that they're maybe the wrong type of person or they do it to try to be harmful to you, you chew on it for a little while. Is there some truth in this correction? Is there anything I can learn from the Bible to help me become a better Christian from this correction or from this criticism? I think it's one of the first things. When someone says something to me, even though if 99% of it is false, 99% of it's untrue, if there's 1%, I can learn from it. That's what a wise person would do. They would consider it. And they would dismiss the things that are untrue, but they would learn from the little bit that they could learn from. Another thing is my rejection of this correction due to pride in my heart? Is my rejection of correction due to pride in my heart? Ask the question, why don't I want to listen to it? Why do I not want to listen to it? Is it because we're prideful? I think that was Asa's problem. We don't know exactly why Asa threw Hananiah in jail. We don't know exactly why Asa got angry and got mad. Maybe he was mad at God because God would punish him just for this one time when he'd been so faithful. I actually think Asa was stubborn and he did not want to learn. He didn't think he had done anything wrong. I don't think he was scorning at the idea that he did something that was wrong. He had lived for God for so long and God used him for so many ways. His pride was lifted up, and that's a problem that's in our heart, is that some of us have been sitting in church for so long and we would not allow instruction or correction to change us, even if it was a 2x4 that hit us upside the side of the head. We wouldn't let anything change us. If I preach and preach and preach that you need to be faithful, you know what? No matter what anybody says, you know, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. We preach about giving, we preach about serving, we preach about soul winning. You know what? Those are corrections. How do we respond to those corrections? Do we take them? Do we chew on them? Do we think, does this apply to me? Oftentimes during invitation times, there's not even any thought about it. That's why we have an invitation time. That's why we don't sing songs during a hymn time during invitation time. I know I like singing songs. I like that during the invitation time. There might be times when we do that, but I want those 5 minutes to be a quiet piece for you to think about what did the preacher just say and give you a chance to reflect on the things it said and say, does it apply to me? When you're singing those songs, yes, they can encourage you to make the decision to follow after Jesus or to surrender all and all those things and all that. I understand that that can encourage you, but we have songs all other time. But the reason why we have invitations is for you to reflect that God wants to teach me something during what I heard tonight and the correction that is there. And it's obvious not everybody likes coming to altars. You can do it in your seats, but it's obvious here to understand that we need to learn from the correction, the preaching and teaching of God's word. And another question. Am I recognizing that even unkind and untrue correction is often a tool of God to form my heart for him? Do I recognize that? Do I recognize in my life that even an imperfect, even someone who might criticize me or someone who might be, who might even say something that is untrue, that meaning saying that they know part of it and they just kind of say it's all true. You ever had to deal with someone like that to make up a false accusation about you? And they say maybe a little portion of the truth and 90% of it was false. Now, can you learn from that 10%? I think you can. I think God can use you. God can use things like that to help correct us. So how do you receive instruction? How do you receive correction? Me? This is something I need to work on. But if I want to have a heart for God, and I want to be a wise man, you know what? I need to learn to take correction. When God brings something in my heart, I don't need to be like Asa and get mad at the person saying it. I don't need to be like Asa, punish the person saying it. I don't need to be like Asa, punishing everybody else around me, becoming bitter, becoming angry to where I don't want to seek after God. I need to be like the wise man that will take and will love the person that tries to help them, that will listen to the correction that is coming and realize that God can use individuals and messages and sermons and aspects of my life to help create a clean heart in me, to help me respond to the correction that was given to me to be a greater vessel to be used for his honor, for his glory. If we see ourselves as we did on the day of salvation, that we were a sinner and we were lost and we had no help without God, and that we needed God completely and totally to save us, then if we see ourselves that way when it comes to our instruction and correctness, when someone walks alongside us with the word of God and says, hey, can I help you with something? Our response wouldn't be, oh, you did this wrong and you're trying to help me? Our response wouldn't be, who are you to tell me what to do? Or who are you? No, our response would be, is there something I can learn to become a better Christian? And we would enjoy or at least embrace the opportunity. A heart for correction. Now, I do believe correction is something that is needed. I do think it's good. I think you should correct your young people. The Bible says that. If you have an authoritative position in our church and teaching, I think you need to have an atmosphere that's conducive to learning, and you need to make sure those kids are behaving. Parents need to. And that is all good and well. I agree with all that. But what is your heart when it comes to correction? Not you correcting others, when you become corrected. Boy, that's a tough subject, isn't it? To say, I'm going to be willing to listen and let God work through individuals to help make me better, be a better Christian. But listen, go through the book of Proverbs. It says it over and over. The wise man will listen. The wise man will love those that rebuke him. The wise man will, over and over, look to make himself smarter and wiser. Tonight, how are you when it comes to receiving instruction? Now, criticism is a little bit different. Sometimes people try to correct you and they just try to harm you or try to make you feel bad. And criticism is something I agree you can still learn from. You can chew on it a little while and spit it out. But then there it can be constructive criticism. But I got a little thing here. George Whitefield was a famous evangelist. He led many meetings. Over hundreds of people came to Christ. His ministry had a great effect around England and was instrumental in sparking a revival in the land. But anytime you do anything for God, you're going to have critics. And yet he, for all the good work he did, he had many critics. He often received letters of criticism, mockery, or hateful correction. Sometimes he would become discouraged by the letters, but he soon learned that the best response to a critic was openness and honesty. After receiving a letter or personal attack, he wrote one simple reply to a sender, and I thought this was good. He says, "I thank you heartily for your letter. As for what you and my enemies are saying against me," he said, "I know worse things about myself than you will ever say about me. With love in Christ, George Whitefield." And you know what? That's got a lot of truth to it. What people usually say and correct us or criticize us about, "Oh, I know a lot more worse about myself than that." And thankfully, under the grace of God, I'm still able to serve the Lord, and I can learn and I can grow. And that's why I need correction, isn't it? That's why I need help. That's why I need reproof. Now, I don't want you to take it upon yourself to go try to monitor and correct everyone. You know what? God leads. You need God's help with this. And you might need some correction yourself. And the Bible talks about that. We dealt with that a few weeks ago when we talked about relationships in the church. And I want to encourage you to love your church family. Be a part of your church family. Let the Word of God correct your heart. Let the Word of God work on you. And next time someone comes and tries to help you with something, be open to it. Don't become super defensive like we often do. "Hey, can I try to help you with something?" We put a wall up. We become judgmental. We become very defensive. We say, "You can't help me." You know what? That's not what the Bible says as a wise person. Let's look at what the Bible says. Let's learn to have a heart for correction, not just on correcting others, but on how to receive correction. Let's go ahead and get ready for invitation time. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed.